Welcome back. Thank you once again for hanging out with us. This is the one and only IT in the D Show. I'm your host, Bob Walton-Spiel, always hanging out with producer, co-host extraordinaire, Randy Walker. Guest this week, Mr. Comic-Con. Ming Chen is in the house. You might know him from a shared podcast studio, Podcast Udio. You might know him from AMC's Comic Book Men. You might know him from his own podcast. But we're lucky enough to be able to chat with him once again. It's been about a good solid year. So we wanted to get an update. You are a traveling fool. It's good to have you on the show, bud.
Hey, what's up, you guys? This is my yearly proof of life that I'm still alive and that I still love you guys. And usually about this time of year, I actually see you guys in person, and you know, we're out tearing up the Hamtramck dive bars. And over at, you know, Polonia, eating city chicken.
The best.
And I have to be in El Paso this week, and I will be missing Astronomicon 7. But you know, they know I love those guys, and I wish I could clone myself and be at both at the same time.
You know,
and I could drink twice as much too.
That only works though if you can like remerge the clones back into one, so you can have both those experiences, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, if we're gonna go that far, I would figure that out for sure. But I will be back soon. The universe always takes me back to Michigan, no matter what.
Dude, please tell me you're exhausted. You have been like you haven't missed a weekend. When's the last time you missed a weekend for a Comic-Con?
No, I actually had the last three weekends off. But so the first weekend I had off, what do? I go to a con. There's a thing in Connecticut. It's called 90s Con. You guys would have loved it, man. So get this. Imagine walking into a convention center, and on your right is Susan Sarandon and Gina Davis.
Come on.
On your left is Marissa Tomei and Mira Sorvino. And then you have the two dads from one of the dads and one of the girls from My Two Dads. Remember that TV
Absolutely.
Show?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And people are like Saved by the Bell and like 90210 at Melrose Place. Yeah, there's a thing that exists called 90s Con where they bring all the TV and movie stars from the 90s into one spot. I think though, beyond the cool guests, my favorite moment, I'm going down the escalator and I look in front and there's a kid cosplaying Vicky from Small Wonder, like full on. And I was like, you win. You win, man. Yeah. If you're like such a creepy show, but part of our childhoods, man.
What was her catchphrase? What was her catchphrase? I can't remember.
I
watched all of them.
I know we should know this, right? But every time I turned that show on, I was so creeped out that I can't even remember the stupid catchphrase.
That we watched some stupid shit like Alf. What was the one with the Harry and the Hendersons? The Bigfoot.
Harry and the Henderson. Yeah. Yep, Alf with the Achmonics. I mean, you know, it's, yeah, the asinine shows, but they were charming. And we, listen, that's all we had. Like, my parents didn't spring for cable. I was stuck with three channels and PBS. So,
and that's the thing. There was no choice. You, like, when Saved by the Bell's on, you watched it. Like, the cart.
Yeah.
And that's my big issue with, like, not my issue, but, like, what, like, when Justice League came out. And I'm sitting here going, that's not my Justice League. Granted, I'm not the target audience because I'm old man. But like, where's Green Lantern? Where's Apache Chief? Why are, you know, well, you know, the, you know, meanwhile, the Legion of Doom, like they hinted at it, but it wasn't it. It just wasn't.
Dude, if Apache Chief showed up in the Zack Snyder Justice League movie, I would have done a 180 for sure. I don't think we're going to be seeing the Apache Chief movie anytime soon.
I would watch that. I would stand in line for that.
Oh yeah. I would invest in that movie. I would give him money to make that movie, but I don't think that's happening in 2024.
So you want to get this? You want to know how much of a loser I am in my real life right now? This is how many cons I've gone to. Flash Gordon was at Toledo. Which is only like an hour and a half drive.
Fantastic Con.
Yeah, I didn't go.
Yeah, Fantastic Con.
And I didn't go. You know, want to know why? Because I have a Flash Gordon painting, Dave Santia painting, signed by Flash Gordon. That was painted in front of Flash Gordon. I have a Jets jersey right behind me, signed by Flash Gordon.
Yes.
Go Jets.
Right. You have a t-shirt.
I have
the Ringer t-shirt.
I have the Ringer t-shirt. I have another like a beautiful thing that Dennis Barger got back in the day. All signed like movie poster. Like I have everything. Like I have every figure known to man. So I'm like, if I go there, what am I going to do? You know, want to go do some rails at with a teddy bear? Like, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah, right. Yeah, that guy. That I met that guy in San Antonio about 10 years ago, and the first time I met him, I wanted to take a photo with him. I was like, "Hey, man, my name's Ming," and he chuckled, and I'm like, "Hey, can you put me in a headlock for the photo?" And he was like, "You really want that?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, I want that. Like, yeah. it would be great." So he did, and I had a little mini poster. I'm like, "Can you send this death to Ming?" And he did, and then we started seeing each other at least a couple times a year, and sometimes they would ship us off to like the local TV station to do a pre-con interview to promote the show.
Right.
And that guy's just great, man. I think my favorite Sam Jones memory was I was at a con, I was walking to breakfast, and it was a pretty narrow hallway, and walking the other way was Sam Jones and Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. So they took up the whole hallway. So they had to make this little space for me in between them. And as I go past them, they're like, "Yo, Ming, man, we were at the gym. Where the hell were you? Why weren't you there?" They're giving me shit for not working out. And I'm like, "Hey, I'm sorry, guys. I woke up late. I'll be there tomorrow morning."
I called my mother once at like 10:45. And I go, "Ma, I'm having dinner next to Barbara Eden and Lou Ferrigno." And she's like, "What in the world? Where are you?" Like,
yeah,
knee deep at Motor City Comic Con, which means nothing to her. But like,
we go.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, we just got weird lives, man. So, you mentioned I'm like literally everywhere. I think two and a half weeks I'll be in Anchorage, Alaska for a con, and Sam Jones will be there. So if you need yet another thing signed or something, I'll take care of it.
I don't mean to throw the guy under the bus. I'm sure he's a sweetheart, but I remember one con I was at and he had small kids and they were literally just going up to the tables and just like grabbing stuff. And just like when they say, "Okay, give me $20, they go, "My dad will sign something for you." And they were doing this repeatedly. And I'm like, I'm just wondering how much shit did they possibly get away with? They would just go grab a Ninja Turtle. Like, "Oh, my dad will say," and they're like, "Who's your dad?" And they're like, "Sam Jones." They're like, these vendors, like, what are you supposed to do for that? You know?
Hey, that's currency, man. That's currency that I can't print. I can't do that. I can't I'll sign something for you in exchange for a lightsaber, like a Star Wars Black Series lightsaber. Don't work for me. Yeah. For him, it worked.
Maybe. That's still have you heard of the first time we hung out was Dickweeds in Mount Clemens. When Big Tiny sung "Sweet Transvestite," knew it verbatim. This is the diviest of like hillbilly dive bars. This is pretty much the pinnacle of, and here you have this 6'8" black dude singing "Sweet Transvestite." Like, people thought they were on Mars.
It was so great. Yeah, one of the best bars at Mount Clemens. We're by the old Gibraltar Trade Center.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. It's fond memories.
It's weed now. It's all, everything's all weed. Everything that closes turns to weed.
Yeah, so we got fond memories of us being in half that building while the gun show was going on next door and the flea market was still going on. And I remember the con was like, "Hey, take these vouchers. You can go eat in the snack bar at the Trade Center." And I growing up in Michigan, I was in heaven, man.
Zabsik thought we were on Pluto or something because he's like, "A gun show going on now next to the Comic-Con." I'm like, "It's no big deal, Mike." And he's like, no. And he couldn't comprehend that Michigan had gun shows just on normal weekends at flea markets.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up. I found this random box over at the studio and I pulled out a thing he bought at that gun show. He bought a tactical vest with all the Velcro and all that. And
really?
Like the straps. And I'm like, "Bro, what are you going to do with that? Like, what are you going to take it to the comic book shop and like put Sharpies in it and like bags and boards? Like, what? Like, seriously, what are you going to do with that?" He's like, I might need this." And obviously he didn't, because he just threw it in a box.
Those aren't cheap either.
No, it wasn't cheap, but he took it's what he spent all his con money on was a tactical vest at the gun show at the Gibraltar Trade Center. Jeez. Yeah.
So I know, like, when you're in Detroit or at Astro and like everybody brings you Faygo and Better Made and stuff, like when you're in Anchorage, Alaska, like do you have a shtick when you go to like the other, these, El Paso and all that? Is it, people don't know what the hell Faygo and Better Made is, do they?
No, not out there. But, you know, every region's got their specialty. So I just got back. I literally just landed from Boise, Idaho a couple hours ago. And their big thing out there, they have two big things. Number one is a thing called finger steaks. And it's basically,
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. So everyone knows what chicken fingers are. Sure. It's chicken finger in steak form. And I know it sounds weird, but it's awesome. They're awesome. They serve those ranch and cocktail sauce.
Oh, not. I was going to say they dipped in country gravy, kind of like country fried steak. That's what
You would think, right? But depending on where you go, the cuts of beef vary in quality. You know, you get the shittiest, crappiest sirloin, or some the higher end ones will actually use like a tenderloin. So they're, it's not all gristly. And they're battered and rolled around in breading and deep fried. And they work. And why they haven't gotten out of Idaho is beyond me. I've never seen them anywhere else.
I haven't either. Listen, at the end of the day, you could deep fry my socks and dip it in ranch, and it would be fantastic. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, since it's all potatoes up there, so they have a lot of French fries. Fry sauce is a big thing in Boise, which is basically, it's ketchup and mayonnaise mixed together.
So it's the sauce at All American Burger from Fast Time.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So that's a specialty over in Idaho. But even like Anchorage, it's all about their seafood. Halibut bites if you like fish, when you go to Alaska and eat halibut bites, you're like, oh, is this what fish is really supposed to taste like?
Right.
Because it's pretty eye-opening.
That was kind of like when we were in Lauderdale, every single dive bar had the best conch fritters I ever had.
Yeah.
I can't find them ever since, but I crave those once in a while, and I know I can't get them up here.
Yeah, either Florida or, if you want to brave jumping on a cruise ship and going to the Bahamas, that's where you get the divey conch fritter shocks. Yeah, that's where to get.
Did you hear what Detroit got? A Jollibee. I don't know if you're a fan.
Wait, what? I mean, I'm Asian, dude. I'd be cast out of my people if I didn't like Jollibee. I saw it. Didn't you go? You posted a review. You're like meh.
It was meh.
And I think you got did you get the fried chicken? And what did you get?
So I got I have to point out that it's directly across from the Golden Butthole of Sterling Heights. So it has a beautiful view of the Golden Butthole.
Up on that hellscape that is Hall Road.
Yeah, exactly. I got the chicken sandwich. I got the fries. I got the mango pie, and I had the pineapple drink. The chicken sandwich was mid. And I hate to use the word mid because I'm 50. It wasn't good. The McDonald's one is just it's better almost. The fries were the worst fries of any fast food place I've ever been to. It's worse than they're like Kentucky Fried Chicken fries. Not the good wedges. I'm talking the shitty fries.
Yeah, the ones are an afterthought. Yes.
Yeah, the mango pie, whatever, fine. It's a McDonald's apple pie with mango in it. And the pineapple drink was like if you open up a can of pineapples and your mom's let you drink the juice when she takes the pineapple out, it was that with ice. And I was just like,
So where you went wrong was it's all about the weird spaghetti there at Jollibee. It's made with this like banana flavored like tomato sauce. It's sweet. And that's the thing to get at Jollibee.
See, when I went to Ireland, I had the English/Irish breakfast, and the beans was a thing. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to eat them. And I dove in, and it's like pork and beans in SpaghettiOs sauce. And I'm like, this is trash. Like, but it's everyone that I've been talking to about Jollibee, it's a nostalgia thing. Like if you grew up or if you're Filipino or if like that's your, you grew up with it, but like Michigan's never had it. And 4-hour wait the first weekend. Now there's nothing. It's
right. Yeah, the secret got out. I was like, all right, this food is not that good. Yeah. So
well, and it's next to a Portillo's, and Hall Road is like the chain hell of the planet. There's you name it. There's one on each end of Hall Road.
Yeah. But I mean, guys like us know better, man. We'll roll over to the town. The hamburger joint at 4 a.m. And get a sack full of burgers, man.
Tellway doesn't have you can't eat inside anymore.
Yeah, I know. And there's something fun about sitting, like waiting for an order outside in 30 degree weather at 4 a.m, which is what I did. And it just sparked a memory. So we went out drinking, went to Tellway, got the burgers at 4 a.m, ate them. And then I was like, oh crap, did I agree to do a, a Channel 4 morning interview at 6:30. He's like, oh, crap, I did, didn't I? So, yeah.
I was with you until about 2 that night.
You were. So, I had to get myself together. I think I set an alarm at 6. I made it, but I reek like onions, like steamed onions or whatever they have at Tellway. And but you could tell my eyes are bloodshot. I'm bleary. But I posted that interview on all my social media. Everyone's like, wow, you did a really good job. Like, I thought you were really great. So maybe that's a secret.
Did you you remember the pizza place that was in front of our podcast studio?
Yes, I do.
Plot
yes.
the Pizza. They took over the podcast studio. They renovated.
I heard.
Did you see Portnoy was there from Barstool?
I did not. What did he give
it? It was Detroit style. So he went, Detroit style. I think he gave him a 7.9, which is still respectable.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, that pizza ain't going to flop. So, you know, there's no flop in that. So yeah, you got to give it, you got to score that.
He doesn't, I don't know what it is. Him and he doesn't like the Detroit. Freddy's, he gave like a 8. Did you have Freddy's when you were here? Did I take you there?
No, I never had Freddy's.
It's downriver a bit. It's like an hour drive from my house in Rochester. He gave them like an 8.7, 8.8. So like,
wow.
You can't get in there anymore. It's like they ruined the business. Like when I was, here's a crazy story. So Palazzo de Pizza, right? The one that's in the podcast studio.
Yep.
The Korean Dave Portnoy stopped in and he's got like 10 times more viewership than Barstool does.
Yeah.
And like now that the guy we're talking to him, now obviously we've been friends for a while. He's like, I got 35 orders waiting for me when I open. And he goes, and probably 30 of them are Korean people. He goes, this show. And as we're sitting in there was 8, 9. They'd come in, going nuts over this guy's pizza. So I'm like, hey, good for you, man. Whatever exposure you can get.
Shoot. I should bootleg the Chinese version. Then the Chinese, Barstool pizza. I should do it. Yeah, I should.
Dude, free pizza. Here's the thing. Your shtick is good cup of coffee, a shitty dive bar.
Right.
And like really good eats in like rando places. That's like, so like, dude, I just own that. Start me. Cause here's the thing. Me and I joke with Randy, not joke, but I tell him, Randy, I want to start doing reels for the show and grab minute long clips. And I never do it. But if you're already out there.
Yeah, you know why? Because it's work. It's work.
I even bought Opus One that does AI clips based on what it thinks will be, you know. I haven't logged into it since, you know. It's one of those things.
I think we're so weird, like the AI can't pull out our best stuff, man. You know, because we're just too good. We're too good.
You're too good. You speak for yourself.
Yeah, I guess so. We're going to have to wait till like Judgment Day, and then that's when it all comes together.
Well, we thought it was today at 3:15, but nothing happened. So I was
Were you guys able to see it in Michigan?
I sat on my porch. My buddies went to Toledo, a couple buddies of mine.
I sat up on a roof downtown and looked at it.
Yeah, I was on my porch. My favorite is a meme that I couldn't stop posting everywhere. Everybody's probably tired of me saying, I'm not impressed by a 2-minute eclipse. This one time Kid Rock didn't see the sun for 3 damn days. And I can't stop laughing at that. Then there's the Death Star memes going on. You know, there's.
Yep.
I'm, you know what I am with these situations? I'm Clark Griswold in the very first Vacation at the Grand Canyon. Nod 3 times going, all right, let's get the F out of here. Like that's, I don't, it doesn't do nothing. You know, I know there's people that love that.
I hear you.
I don't want to take it from them, but you know.
Yeah, I was in flight. So it was actually pretty cool from the sky. My wife drove all the way to Columbus, Ohio from Jersey. She had gone, I guess, what was it? 2013, the last time this happened. She took the kids and went to like North Carolina, and she said it was like mind blowing, like to see it on the ground. Like she went and followed like where it was, you know, the totality.
Yeah.
So I haven't done that, so I can't say it either way. But I say I got the cooler experience, man. I got to see it from 30,000.
That is kind of a cool. Well, the flights out of Austin, I guess, were bananas because like that was like they had a $1,000 flight on the path of totality, whatever they called it.
Yeah.
And so like
yeah,
I have friends in Austin. They're like, dude, everybody's nuts in this town trying to get on this flight.
Yeah, but doesn't it just feel like you're flying in like at night? Like, I didn't get what's so special about that.
I don't know. Like, yeah. You know, the pictures and the videos, you know what it reminds me of? Like, the 4th of July, like, you know, like, what are you going to, like, you know, like,
look, yeah, how many can you see?
Well, and look at my fireworks from 2014. Isn't this awesome? Yeah. Said no one ever.
Right.
So I need to rant with you.
Okay.
I know we're both kind of movie and sci-fi and 80s junkies and 90s junkies.
Yeah.
And I talked about the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life,
which is
The New Roadhouse. It's spoiler alert city, because now at this point it's been about a month, and if you haven't seen it, you know, you probably will never see it. Conceptually, like, the first one was silly. It was campy and it was corny. Like, good old Brad Wesley wants to take down the Double Deuce and, you know, and own the town. And so this one, they made it where there was a developer that wanted a block on Key West, and he bought everything around but this bar that this woman's family's owned since the 60s. And she didn't want to sell. So, like, you'd send in biker gangs. So this woman goes to this underground pit fighting and finds a MMA guy, Jake Gyllenhaal, who killed somebody in the ring and got fired from UFC. And now he's doing pit fighting, and she offers him 20 grand to clean up the bar.
So it's a plot of every 80s like action show on NBC.
It was
like isn't that every A-Team plot where like someone wants to move in, and then they get the old people who own whatever building or whatever piece of land gets intimidated by either a biker gang or some toughs that they hire, and then they find Hannibal and the gang and Mr. T and Hollyman Murdoch, and then they build some kind of contraption and they fend them off.
But this
sounds like the plot of
It totally was, but it was lazy. It's like, it's still his same name. His name's Dalton. He falls in love with the nurse that stitches him up. He befriends a local shop that gets burned down by the bad guys. He likes coffee, but they have Cuban blend because they're in Key West.
Yes.
And it's like, and there's a band playing that's, you know, better than they should be for a Key West band.
Right. My only question is why? Like, did they think it was going to be so big that they would launch a franchise of roadhouses? Or, like, why?
I think someone took a big whiff of glue and said, I bet you we can get somebody to fund this shit. And someone said, okay. I'll give you an example of how I feel about like remakes and universe redos. Like,
okay,
Mad Max, completely 100% legit,
right? Yes.
Fury Road, especially the tie-in with Toe Cutter being the same guy from the 79 one, going, wait, is that still him, or do they just use the same actor? And it's, you know, it's an extension of the universe, it's proper.
Yeah,
but if you do redo RoboCop like they did in what, 14, this crap, like, why, like, Ghostbusters tried it, and then they thought about it again, and then came out with, like, all right, we're going to do it as an extension. And then they were fine.
Yeah.
The Paul Rudd Ghostbusters are fine.
Yeah.
But, like, why couldn't you make, like, I don't even know how you would extend the universe for Roadhouse. Like, it's such a dumb concept anyway, especially nowadays. Oh, a bouncer's going to save the town. Like, what? And then McGregor was probably the worst acting job. It's like, okay, speaking of doing a rail, do 10 rails, Connor, and just walk around, and then walk around with your pants off for a portion too.
Yeah. That'll sell it. That'll get them.
It was so bad. Like, and these guys are all like Deadpool. Like, he gets stabbed in the stomach or in the kidneys with a screwdriver up to the handle, and he just walks it off.
Yeah, he's fine. Just rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine.
Watch the one, like, okay, Wolverine, just watch it heal. Anyway,
it's funny. So wait, we were talking about another movie they remade. I don't know if you guys remember Rollerball from the 70s.
It was a fantastic movie.
James Gunn, and then they remade it in what, the 2000s, with Chris Klein from American Pie, and
LL Cool J.
I think LL Cool J's in it.
Paul Heyman.
But I'm like, why would you? Why? One, nobody likes roller derby. Like,
see, I loved that movie. The only bad part was the chant. So they're in Russia, right? And Klein's character's name is Jonathan, whatever. And the whole crowd is just going, and they start slow, like, Jonathan, Jonathan, Jonathan. And then it gets all rowdy. And I'm like, that hands down the worst, like that ruined the whole movie for me.
Yeah, I remember they're trying to start up like a roller derby, like late night league. And it was supposed to be a competitor to American Gladiators back in the day.
Oh, God.
And you know, everyone was banking on it was called Roller Games, I think. It was supposed to be, they're like, this is really violent. Like, we were pushing the envelope and nobody cared. You know, why? Because people skating in a circle.
And then Pickleball made it. Go figure.
Yeah, I know. Pickleball made it. Pickleball made it because old people can play it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see? Oh, I thought Aquaman Lost Kingdom was the worst movie of all time. Did you see?
Wow, you're just going from bad to worse. I did not see it. And, you know, not that I didn't want to. My time is limited, man.
I figure out planes are in the hotel late at night. There was a scene. You have to watch it for this one scene.
Okay.
And the blonde guy from Watchmen, who was his brother, you know, he's in the movie, and he gives this speech about the Lost Kingdom. And it looks like a Cannonball Run, like the blooper reel at the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, with Dom DeLuise.
And there's like the cast is laughing their ass off while he's saying this. And he's like holding back this smirk. Like he's going to crack immediately. And they kept it in the movie.
Yeah. And that's like, awesome. All right. Now I'm going to watch it. And I got to watch it for that.
And Momoa's doing these like Nick Cage, like karate moves, like, ah. And it was just, they had to have been laughing and just like, I'm just going to cash this check, baby. Let's go. And
yeah, let's just get this over with, and then you know, and then we'll cut all Amber Heard's parts or whatever, and we'll throw it out there.
But like,
did she poop on anything?
In the water, just like a fish.
Yeah,
but like there was parts of it that made like Batman 67 look like it was good CGI. It made Flash Gordon look like the new Star Wars, like
right
and like, what do you, like, are you guys trying to do this poor, like the story was horrific.
No, I love that we're going backwards now. You know, we have all the resources in the world to make everything awesome now, and no, and they're consciously trying to make it to make it move backwards.
I know why. I'm gonna throw out, this is my theory, but they say it in plain sight. They interviewed all the directors and writers of the last, like, pick the last 12 comic movies. And every one of them never read a comic or watched a show or was a fanboy.
Yeah.
Like there was no Kevin Smiths. There was no Dave Filoni's. There was no, like,
yeah, like James Gunn, like no, right, like, yeah,
people that,
no Jon Favreau's. Yeah.
No, like, you're right. The people that were like lived and breathed and like still at 50 years old, collect Justice League lunchboxes. Like people I know, me. But like, I think that's a huge part of it. Like, it's one thing to make a good, what do they say is the thing? It's like, he's a good fighter or he fights good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're getting people that make good movies, but they're not, it's just,
they're not fighters though. Yeah.
And I make it well known that I didn't read a lot of the comics, but I watched everything humanly possible, from cartoon to, like, I just binged Bad Batch this last weekend. Like, I'm not.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Right.
It's so great. Good. It's so good. And not only that, like, the same guy does all the voices, which is pretty cool. Dee Bradley Baker.
You know what I'm mad about?
What are you mad about?
They justified somehow Palpatine returned. They made it not be stupid.
It's the whole point of the show, apparently.
What's that?
It's the whole point of the show, apparently, is to fix that mess up.
To fix it, right. The whole series was just to fix that. What was it, Project Necromancer, Randy? And that's all they took. Like, they had Omega, which is Boba Fett's, you know, twin clone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fantastic, but like, they did it all just to fix this stupid, like, I guess Rogue One was, the whole movie was made to fix a plot hole. So I guess why not do a whole cartoon series?
Yep.
Yeah. Why? Because they can.
Right. Did you see Acolyte, the trailer?
I have not seen it yet. I saw the complaints about it. Does that count?
People will complain. Like, I have a thing now. Like, I'm a wrestling fan. WrestleMania was the last three weeks.
Yeah, I am.
Everyone's online complaining. I'm convinced that you could hand people free beer and they're going to go, oh, this, you don't have anything like my brand. Like, people, like, especially online, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. Like, what do you want? Like,
I think that stems from what I was saying before. You know, when we grew up, we had three channels, right? Yeah. And you had to like it. Now we're given too much. We're given too much. And now, you know, people are like, oh, well, that this sucks. Like, can't somebody do it better? Like, I'll just flip to another channel. And yeah, nobody appreciates anything
like
anymore.
This wrestling thing, they're like, oh, why did Cody have to win? What Roman should have won? And I'm like, do you leave like Beekeeper and go, you know, it'd be awesome if Jason Statham died at the end and the bad guy won? And no, you enjoy the damn movie. That's a fantastic movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. Yeah, Beekeeper. Fantastic job. They like, yeah, it's John Wick basically with Jason Statham. It's
yeah, it's I like anything Statham's in, man. Totally. That guy's a genius, man. And he's really good at kicking people in the head.
He is.
In the end, that's all I want. So
what, you listen to any podcasts at all? I know you said you don't have much time.
I got cued into a thing I had never heard of. Back in 2018, some guy was just leaving package bombs on random doorsteps, and you know, a bunch of people got killed. It was something I'd never heard of. I don't know why. Really? This never, he was putting pipe bombs into cardboard boxes, leaving them on people's doorsteps. Jeez. And people were just randomly, and so I've been hitting up, and of course there are 57 podcasts about what happened, recapping it. So I've been going back and listening to literally all of them.
Oh my
God. For whatever reason. Yeah. Yeah. It was just some dude who was mad at the world. And I mean, spoiler alert, they ended up cornering him and he was driving around in a van and he blew himself up. So they never,
figured out why.
He left one last video outlining each one of the bombs he built, like how he did it, but he never really said why. And they won't release the video because they're afraid of copycats. Because he legit outlined every step on how, and he didn't just build one bomb. He built like five different ones. There was one that had a tripwire, and one was like in PVC, and one was in like galvanized steel. And he used different, you know, he filled them with different projectiles. And they never found out truly why he did it, though.
Dude, are you old enough to had a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook?
I never bought one, but I'm aware of it. I've seen it, and I mean. You know,
for legal purposes, I don't own a copy.
Yeah. But you know, I remember being back, like, you know, as a high school kid, that was kind of, you know, like all emo with the world. I was like, hey, maybe I should check that thing out, man.
We had on my 300 baud modem, I had a digital copy of it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was like, when you say like making pipe bombs, I'm like, just got to reference the, obviously I don't own it anymore because my Commodore 64 is no longer in service, thankfully. But I'm stuck on stand-ups right now, like comics, their podcasts. So it's like Andrew Schultz, Dan Soder, Shane Gillis. I'm addicted. I think Shane Gillis is one of the funniest people going right now. Like, because it's so, like, he's not trying to be funny. He almost surprises himself with the shit coming out of his mouth. Right. He like laughs at himself. I don't know. There's something endearing about it. Those guys are. Schultz is like. Schultz is the only person I ever met that can trash on every single culture and race on the planet and make it where it's funny and not like there's zero mean spirit coming out of it at all.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, man. Have you ever tried it? You ever tried stand-up?
No, I would be awful. I would either do like Dangerfield lines, or I would do shit that I've heard over the years that I'm like, I make it mine, and then I did the one, I was at Go Comedy Improv. Have you seen this? I got on, it was a theme of the night and everybody called me going, oh my God, you need to do this. And it was storytelling. It was kind of like, what's the one Ari Shaffir that's at the strip club? This Is Not Happening. I think it's called the YouTube series. Yeah. You basically tell a story, but it's in comedic format. And I told the story on how I shit my pants on a date. And it's at the end of a 3-hour show. Mm-hmm. And they publish it on YouTube, not as the entire show, but as me with my spelling. I'm the only one in the U.S.
Wow.
So if you Google my name, the TED Talk comes up first.
Right.
And I shit my pants on a date comes up second.
Okay. Oh, man. I'm going to definitely check that one.
So my daughter is... her friend like worked at Go Comedy Improv, and he comes over and he's like, shakes my hand. He's like... Mr. Walton Spiel, he goes, you're a goddamn legend. And I go, of what? And he goes, you know, your thing at Go Comedy Improv. I go, what? You Googled my daughter and that came up. Like, I go, Gretchen, you're cursed. Like, my kids,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, you affected people. I almost saw you shit your pants once. We were at a Chinese restaurant in Monroe, and then we went to a dive bar, and yeah, the Chinese food kind of hit you.
That was
in a not so good way, and you had to take a dump in a dive bar bathroom,
and you guys didn't watch the door, and an old man walked in on me.
we told him you were in there, and he still opened the door.
We did. He didn't care.
He didn't care.
That was the night where Kelly from wrestling. Mm-hmm. Barbie Blank is sitting like three feet away from me, and I did not want to talk to her because I was farting like every 30 seconds. I was sitting there just pounding Jägermeister, not for fun, but to make my stomach feel better.
Right. Yeah.
We almost got in a fight because we took the jukebox over.
We did. Yeah. The locals did not appreciate your taste in music.
No, Randy's taste in music.
Randy's taste.
It was me.
It was Randy's fault.
It was me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to a hillbilly bar and repeat I'm a Barbie girl 18 times and figure. I did find something yesterday. I'm proud of myself. Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. Are you familiar with his work?
Absolutely. Spanish Flea. And, yes, of course.
There's
Tijuana
a song
Taxi.
Called
of
Rise. There's a song called Rise.
Okay.
I've never listened to it before. The other night I saw it on one of those sampling Instagram channels.
Yeah.
And it is, if you fast forward to 3 minutes and 24 seconds into the Rise, it is one of the most famous rap songs that's ever been made.
Wow, really? All right. Herb Albert, I'm firmly convinced that Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass are the center of the universe.
They are.
I think all good things start with them.
See, now that was the one thing we used to always, I never understood why Zorba the Greek and Hava Nagila Hava were like hockey anthems.
Yeah.
Like that was my favorite because we would play Zorba the Greek all the time on jukeboxes. And like it took like 6 minutes to fire up to the hockey part. And then when the hockey part fired up, the whole bar would start clapping because they're used to doing it at the Joe. Those are good times.
Yeah, really good times. I tried stand up once. I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and my friend Holly was hosting. And I'd gone a couple of times, and I was kind of like, you know what? Next time I come, I'm going to do it. I'll jump up there. I'll do it. And I did. It's all on YouTube. My friend videoed it, and it's like it's not awesome. It was my first time. It's not terrible though.
Did you write a bit or?
So what had happened was I guess I'll rewind a little bit. I was at Kevin Smith's film festival. It was the Smodcastle Film Festival. I met a dude. A filmmaker there, we went out, we became friends. We went out drinking. He's like, "Hey man, I'm shooting a movie in Albuquerque in 4 months. I have a 1 day role as an Asian mob boss. Would you be interested?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "Hell yeah, this is a role I was born to play, man." And yeah, all of a sudden, 4 months later, I'm on a plane to Albuquerque. And so that day, you know, there's a lot of setups and stuff. We shot all day, but you know, while I was waiting around, that's when I started writing jokes. So I had, they give you 5 minutes. So I came up with, I thought was a pretty solid 5 minutes worth of material. And we wrapped that day and I got down there and I was like, "Hey, I'm going to sign up." She's like, cool. Well, I'll put you in like fifth. I was like, "All right." And the guy who started it off was horrible. And so it gave me even more confidence. I was like, I could be better than that guy. Like anybody could be better than that guy. So yeah, I jumped up and did it. And, you know, like the open mic, you can have your notebook. You have your notes in front of you. Nobody cares. Yeah, you don't have to memorize your set. So I was like, all right, that made it a lot easier. And I did get nervous. So before I went up, my friend Chris was like, "Oh, 5 minutes. It's going to feel like forever up there, man. Are you ready?" And I was like, "Oh, man, really?" But I felt it was the opposite. I couldn't even get through all my jokes. It went so fast.
Are you on the Matt Rife bandwagon?
He's all right. You know, I'm not. I don't think he's just the greatest thing, you know, because we're old dudes, man. We're always like, "No, man, no one's better than Carlin,
no,
Rock, Chris Rock, you know, those guys."
But see, now my thing is I'm always a fan of there's talk shows I listen to just because how they speak, not necessarily their message. Right.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Matt Rife with the crowd work. I think he's as good as literally anyone he is like a solid 9.5 out of 10 on the crowd work. I've never seen anybody that good. The problem is like his last stand-up, he vented like some anger or something, because here's the thing: when you have a show where you know, your audience is 80% women simping for you, like, you're going to get some guy haters. It's just the nature of the beast. So, like, catches shit from everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, he didn't, he forgot. I think he's forgetting who he, how he got there.
It happens. It happens. Yeah. Stay humble, everybody. Stay humble.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, the Albuquerque standup is also on YouTube. If anyone's really bored, so a few months later, I did a podcast with Jim Norton.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, after we wrapped it, I was like, hey man, I did my first standup. He's like, really? He's like, how'd it go? I was like, you know, it wasn't great, but, he's like, oh man, did you record it? I was like, yeah, my friend did. Why? He's like, oh man, I would give anything if I could have my very first standup recorded. He's like, you should put that up on YouTube. You should put it up there just sure. So there's a record of it. And I was like, all right, if Jim Norton tells me to do it, and you know, he's Jim Norton.
Monster Rain's one of the best. See, now I didn't I liked Lucky Louie. I don't know if you ever watched that.
Yeah.
He was great in that.
Yeah.
And then I saw him at the Fillmore, I think, in Detroit. I've seen him like two or three times live.
Yeah.
Every
time. Yeah. So, So I haven't jumped up on stage again since, but I don't know, man. I it's fun. I'll do it for fun. The problem is when you jump up there, people are going to immediately start ripping you apart, though. That's the only.
Yeah. Well, unless you start shitting on yourself first. Like, I think once you, like,
right.
You do, you know, the guys, like, the what are the battles where, like, one of them's got, like, one's handicapped and one's, like, super fat, and they both, like, shit on each other, and, like, you're like, oh my god. But they're all in on it, and they're laughing. I mean, that's
yeah.
The whole point. I don't know. To me, I've watched so much stand-up comedy in my life. Like, Half Hour Comedy Hour was, like, yep. My favorite show on the planet on MTV.
Yeah.
When MTV was MTV. I've watched so much, I don't know what would be my own material or what did I hear somewhere else.
Okay, right. And then that's a contrary. It was like, oh man, you stole my joke. I'm like, no, I didn't. Or wait, did I?
Right.
I don't know.
The last thing you want to be is a Carlos Mencia, right? Like,
yeah.
It's so hard to be original. Like, that's what, like, even like, unless you're so good, like Dan Soder is so good at like his Macho Man bit. That's where I first found out. My buddy's like, you got to hear this. I was crying. So then I just started backtracking all of his stuff, and he's so good. Schultz got me during quarantine. Did you see those 5 minute, like, you just shitting on society and like it was almost like an SNL news bit.
Right.
But it was him just, and he's so good at his delivery and what he talks about.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think the other thing that made me jump up was every so often, Brian O'Halloran, who played Dante in Clerks, will do stand up. I remember he was at a con, and they set aside a whole night for him. I'm like, how long did you go for? It was like, oh, we gave him 45 minutes. I was like, you gave that guy 45 minutes?
Right.
And he claims he killed it, but I haven't seen it. And I don't know if I believe him or not. But
45, that's like, you're a pro. You've been practicing all over the country. Like, that's hard work.
Right. Yeah. And then a guy I recently became friends with, and he started doing stand-up comedy. Sean Kanan, who played Mike Barnes in Karate Kid 3,
okay. The
bad boy of karate. Yeah, I met him at a con, and then he was like, "Hey, I'm doing a whole comedy show in Atlantic City. I'll put you on the list." I was like, "Crap, man, we got to go see this." So I grabbed a friend and we went down there, and yeah, he was good.
See, now I know I'm situationally funny and I'm good at like quick clapbacks.
Yeah.
It doesn't translate to stand up. That's why I'm like, "You know what? I'm not I'm a good storyteller. That's always been kind of my thing." But it doesn't necessarily translate to stand up.
No, I think that was my problem. I tried to drag these jokes out too long, as if we were podcasting.
Right,
I was
like, dude, right.
I was like, dude, you got to get to it way quicker, dumbass. Like, you can't drag it out for like 30 seconds or a minute. You got to get to it quicker. So, but yeah, that's why we jump up there, right? You learn. So we should go do one day. I would love to do.
I have a opening bit, but I don't know how to follow it up.
Okay.
And it's I wrote this, and it's based on my life. It's so the first, it's like basically it starts off like, who's on a first date fart hold, and you're basically talking about like these guys meet the person of their dreams, and they're like, I'm never farting in front of them as long as and it kind of goes on this bit where, like, you know, the girl does it first and the guy's appalled, and you know what I mean, but then he's like, all right, you know, the floodgates are open, baby, you know. So it's kind of this, I kind of go on, you know, but again, it's not, you know,
So you're telling me if Kelly Kelly had cut one, like it would have been a match made in heaven, then
it would have been a match made in heaven.
At that bar.
I didn't. So I had an in with her and everything because she Rhino, we were in Monroe and Rhino lives there and he has a marina there. And I was going to go, I'm going to go talk to her. But I go, if I go talk to her, I'm going to get freaking nervous stomach, like flipping records. I used to get that all the time. We talked about it. Like we every you know, I used to DJ back in the day and we'd go to the record store on Saturday mornings. I would flip three and I have to run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like it's Barnes and Noble disease. I heard some people have it. So like, I go, if I say two words to her, I'm like, I'm done.
Right. Well, you know, she's still out there. You'll get your chance.
Yeah. She did. I follow her on Instagram. She got married and had a baby. So I'm married with kids. So like, what am I worried about?
You know, you can, one can always dream, right? Yeah, you can always, one can always dream. Well, it's great. It's like, I keep running into Trish Stratus at cons and she's smart, man. Like not only is she an incredible human being and like otherworldly gorgeous, but she gets it, man. Like every dude who comes up to her table or me, like by the time you leave there, it's like, man, I think she's into me. Like she's so smart. And then, so these guys, you know, they'll line up like 10 times to go see her just for that experience.
I get really, not that I'm protective of her per se, but I know guys who haven't touched a boobie for free in their entire lifetimes that will have this opportunity to meet a Trish Stratus, pay her $40 for an autograph or whatever she charges. And they will do that death grip on her opposite hip and pull her in. And you could see his hand and you could see her squirming. There's guys are in this, being in the, you know, around the wrestling biz for a while, you see these guys.
Yeah.
And you just want to just like, God bless you, Trish, for letting these freaking clowns do that. But like, you know, be Keanu Reeves. Don't stop doing it to girls. Like,
yeah. Hover hand that. Yeah. Although she'll sever your hand, man. You might lose that hand if you try that. So I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it, but yeah.
All right.
But yeah, there's all to say Trish Stratus is awesome. So
she was like, I remember that. Yeah. When I sat with you at Astro, I was in your booth. She's the booth next to you. I just watched her interact with people and like, you can't teach that. She was so good with people. So good.
Yeah. You know why? It's because she's Canadian, man.
Is that what it is?
It's part of it. It's definitely part of it.
You have one bag of ketchup chips and you just become absolutely apologetic and nice.
Yeah, I remember she had such a huge line. I remember Jeff Anderson, who plays Rando in Clerks, he was there. He thought it was my line.
Oh.
And he started getting mad. He's like, why the hell is Ming got a line 10 times bigger than ours? And finally somebody was like, that's not his line. That's Trish. That's Trish's line. He's like, oh, then he wasn't mad anymore. So,
hey, we're going to cut you loose, man. I can't thank you enough for the time spent with us. I could talk to you till 4 in the morning, but
I know, right?
Stuff going on. And you're going to go ahead.
Yeah, I'll be in El Paso next week, but you know, all my love to Astronomicon. You know that I've been there since year one, and you know, we have such incredible times there. So it does bum me out that I'm not there. But so if you're in Michigan, please go to Burton Manor and support them. And I'll be back for Version 8. You know, come hell or high water. And I'm just looking forward to be back in Michigan again, man. Just shout out to, you know, Polonia and Whiskey in the Jar and, you know, all our,
your picture's Jesse. Still on the wall.
Our picture's still on the wall.
Our picture, fine.
Our picture. All three of us are on there. Like, it's a big point of pride, too, man.
I tell everyone I'm there, I'm like, my picture's on the wall. And I'm like, I act all, like, don't you know who I am?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even live there. They let me be on the bar and pour my own drinks now. Like, that's pretty cool, man. Also, if you go out in the patio on the side in Sharpie, it still says Mike Zapsik eats ass on the outside of the building.
Bathroom and it's gone. It's still there.
I don't know if it's still in the bathroom, but it's definitely still on the sidewall. Oh, they have not covered it up.
I'll take a picture. I'll be there this weekend.
Oh yeah, okay. It should still be there. It was there a year ago. So,
oh my,
and it was written there the previous year. So
you got to try to come in for Poonski Day too. That's the best party in Detroit.
Every year something coincides with that. I'm like, but I want to do that. And you know, I hear people fill them with vodka and yeah, dude.
They cut them in quarters and then they soak them in vanilla vodka.
Oh my goodness. Okay, done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So yeah, if you guys are heading over, you know, I'm going to miss you guys, but I'll be back soon.
All right, cool. Well, we miss you, man. Ming Chen, find him online if you want to follow. It's one of the better follows on social media just because of the cool places you go to. You should start making reels, man. It'll be a thing. It could be a thing.
Yeah, if I wasn't so lazy. Yeah, I will. So,
But hey, we're going to wrap things up. This episode of the IT and the D Show on behalf of Bob and Randy. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.